This is Karen Lyle with Ian Williams on the line from Great Britain. What do you find more challenging for the team, lower knots or higher knots of wind?
Well, we're always obviously trying to put in together a team that's going to be able to perform in all conditions and really try and focus on our performance and always remembering that the conditions are the same for both teams. So if it's very light, takes different skills. It's all about keeping the boat going fast through the water and keeping the momentum, whereas the handling is perhaps not so challenging with the sails. Then, of course, when the wind gets a bit stronger, it gets much more physical and the handling becomes more critical. So it's really about having a team that has the wide range of skills to handle all conditions.
Thanks so much, Ian. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. Thanks, Karen.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. This past week, we had two Rolex races, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. On the East Coast, the 2019 Rolex New York Yacht Club Invitational Cup was the first to utilize the club's fleet of 20 IC37 race boats. These purpose-built machines, when combined with one design sails from North Sails, identical gear, and standardized rig tune, created an incredibly level platform for amateur big boat racing. The boats are owned by the New York Yacht Club, who takes pride in maintaining them to an identical standard so that the competition of skill is heightened. 20 yacht clubs from around the world competed. Find the teams and winners at SailSportTalk.com in our show's archives for today. On the West Coast, the fastest guns in the West were decided at the St. Francis Yacht Club Rolex Big Boat Series. Cool onshore temperatures, ebbing fog, flooding waters, and a gathering sea breeze greeted 79 teams gathered on the San Francisco Bay at the 55th edition of this race. Despite a slow start to the regatta, courtesy of the higher-than-usual onshore temperatures earlier in the week, the long-form Bay Tour course gave teams a chance to whip their horses around the West Coast's most competitive race course one last time. Better still, the day's course selection allowed all teams to strut their big air skills while enjoying a stadium-style finish in front of the cheering fans ashore on St. Francis Yacht Club's race deck. The Rolex watch went to Blackhawk, a J105, and Ryan Simmons. Elixir, a Santa Cruz 52, and Skip Eli. Elusive, a Swan 42 of Club and Tom Furlong. Kawhi, a Melges 32, and Dan Thillman. As a personal thank you from SailSport Talk, we want to give a shout-out to the first three San Francisco businesses who advertised on SailSport Talk. KKMI, Rubicon Yachts, and Twin Rivers Marine Insurance. Bringing sailing as a sport into 24/7 sports talk every week. Check out the live broadcasts KKMI, Rubicon Yachts, and Twin Rivers Marine Insurance sponsored on SailSportTalk.com. This is Karen Lyle, SailSport Talk.
All right, there I am. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. And as you can see on twitch.tv, Karen Lyle is back with us at 9:40 on a Tuesday for a little SailSport Talk. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing just great. Just came over on the bay, the best place to be.
Very cool. Well, we welcome our guest, and it is Ralph Isham. He's one of six owners of the classic 12-meter boat, Courageous. And when I say classic, Ralph, this is really one of the most famous around, isn't it?
We don't have the...
All right, we don't have the guest. All right. Well, anyway, now we do again? Oh, let's try this. Ralph, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Hello. Yes, we can.
Sorry, I got it. I got a thumbs up, but you weren't there. Anyway... I was just saying you're one of the owners of Courageous, and it is one of the most famous boats around. Why is it one of the most famous?
Well, it's one of the most famous because it won two America's Cups. It won in 74 and one in 77. There's only one other boat, Intrepid, that's in that, you know, same category. And I think partly it's because Ted Turner was such a figure in sporting and sailing that that year that he won the second time that Courageous won in 77, was quite, you know, quite dramatic, and he was sort of a larger than life figure in the sport. So I think it's partly that, and partly it was the first, aluminum hull 12 meter boat to compete in the America's Cup. That might be another reason. So it's just had a storied history, and we've had fun with her.
Well, congratulations on winning the Road to Worlds Waypoint Series. That was a three-year campaign that you had. How many different races?
Yeah. A marathon, of course.
I have a question for you. For this series of the 12-meter boats, this is a historic boat. When you blow a sail, blow a rig or damage a rudder, do you have to do a historic preservation, or can you upgrade that to some of the newer technologies available?
Well, it's all sort of managed by the International 12 Meter Association, which decides in which category, whether it's a vintage boat or a modern boat. We're in the modern class. And in the modern class, you first of all, you have to abide by the 12-meter rules, which are, specific rules of length on a freeboard and sail area and all that. And they've made, our sails now are carbon sails. They weren't back in 1977, obviously. So they've made exceptions. But in terms of the rudder, you can do, if you break a rudder, you can change the rudder as long as it's, in conforming with the 12-meter rule. You can do that. Now, with a vintage boat, if you're in a class like Nyala, you can't use carbon sails. So it depends on which class you're in, whether it's a vintage, traditional, modern, or Grand Prix in the 12-meter class. But so I don't know whether that answers your question, but
that's great. That's great to know. And I know your Courageous Syndicate members, I think, have been together almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
who is the one that keeps you all laughing, and what does he do that sets it off?
I don't know. I think we all keep each other laughing, we've been doing it for 20 years. The person who really got us all involved was a guy named Jimmy Gubelman, who was actually Commodore of the 12 Meter Yacht Club and helped organize this year's World Championship. And he's always been great fun. He hasn't sailed with us for a few years, but we all wanted to make him Commodore because he's been such a great supporter of the class. So Gary Jobson, I have to say, has been a great leader on the boat all the way through. He's kept us focused on the important aspects of racing and working as a team.
We enjoyed interviewing him here on the show not too long ago. Right. And
Good.
Yeah, and I guess are you going to go to Finland for the 2020 World?
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about now. We have the North Americans coming up. Actually, they start on Friday this week up in Newport. So we've got the North Americans then, and then we'll plan for Finland. It's a beautiful place to sail. So we're looking forward to it. It's a fun class. So I'm glad you had a chance to interview Gary. He's a terrific guy.
A couple more questions for Ralph Isham of the Courageous.
Isham
with the Courageous Syndicate. What does that mean when we say syndicate in this case?
Well, in the syndicates, particularly with the America's Cup, when they were, in the 60s, it changed a little bit later on with the likes of Oracle and whatnot. But they were basically folks getting together as a group to help finance the building and the sailing of a boat. So, that's what we've done here. We've had a syndicate, over the period, over the last 20 years, first on Columbia when we raced Columbia in cows, for the Jubilee. And then when we came back from Cowes, we acquired, our syndicate acquired Courageous. And so the syndicate is, you know, I'm you know, co-head of the syndicate with my brother-in-law, Alexander Ausberg. But we basically operate as a, you know, as the investors and as a, you know, the team that manages the enterprise. So, so, you know, that's all it means. We're kind of the decision makers on what do we want to spend money on? What do we, you know, what do we want to do crew wise? Who do we want to recruit? Who that, you know, all the decisions that you would sort of, you know, have around, you know, the management of the campaign. And, so in this case, with the Worlds, you know, with a lot of professionals coming on board, I mean, Challenge 12 and certain some of the other boats were really, you know, pro-crewed with some, you know, people, some seriously big-name sailors coming in to sail. We had to step it up a little bit, and we made some changes to the boat and, you know, to the rudder and brought the shrouds in and did a few things to make us more competitive, which ended up helping us, I think. So, but that's all it is. It's basically, you know, we're a syndicate of four and on Courageous now. And it's worked out pretty well because we've all known each other a long time. We're all good friends.
You know, it's interesting when you have a boat that's 45 years old and you talked about some of the improvements. What else do you have to do? Like, this might be a simplistic question, but like, how long do your sails last before you need new ones?
Well, you know, it's a good question because, you know, if you take a jib, certain jibs get a lot more use than others. Like the heavy jib that you've used in a big wind typically don't get as much use. So they'll last 2 or 3 years. But the main jib, like the one or two that we have, get a lot of use and they get, you know, you have to change them almost every season. So, you know, it just depends on you know, how much racing you do and then the conditions, you know, how much, you know, obviously how many times you've had to tack in a race and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I would say every year and a half, 2 years, we've had to change.
Do you have a limit to the number of sails you can have per year in the race?
No, we don't. That wouldn't be a bad idea, but we don't.
Some races do. I just didn't have a button, I guess.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
Right?
I know.
I was always wondering what happens if you blow out the last sail before the year's over, you know, if you have those.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think this last world championship was a little bit of an arms race in terms of having enough sails on board.
so you have some competition there. So who were you really, you know, eyeing on this last race? Like, because this last race, you didn't win the race, but you got the overall points.
We came in second, but but point wise, we ended up in third place. Behind Bataille Challenge 12 and Defender, so it was, you know, that's just, you know, what, you know, that's what happened. We sailed very well, I mean, but you know, there were just a few moments that could have gone either way, and we just didn't quite pull it off. But so Challenge 12 has been, you know, an extremely fast boat. You know, the tactician aboard is Kenny Reed, who's a, you know, world-renowned sailor, and they've got, you know, fully pro crew, you know, situation there. So I have to say we did pretty well against them, you know, in a certain number of races. We just didn't do well enough to really beat him. So, but we were happy with that.
You got the overall though for the roads to waypoint. How many Cat 3 professional crew are you allowed to have? And, who were your crew this year?
So there's no, we never really decided, how many pro crew. There was no limit as to how many pro crew you could have on the boat. Some people were, you know, had a lot. I would say on our boat, we had about maybe six or seven out. I mean, because some of the folks who sailed on the boat have sailed a long time and they're well known names, but they're not considered professional sailors, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, even Gary Jobson isn't considered a, you know, he's a well-known tactician, but he's not a, you know, in the category of a professional sailor. But, you know, on our boat this year, we had Robbie Doyle, who was, you know, what's fun is that Robbie is, you know, makes our sails and he's a mainsail trimmer, and he was also a mainsail trimmer for Ted Turner in 77. You know, we have obviously Gary Jobson, who was tactician for us. He was also tactician in 1977 with Ted. So that, you know, that's fun. John Wright sailed with us. John was on Courageous in 74, and then in 80 he was on Freedom. So he was a trimmer for us. We had a guy named L.J. Edgecombe, who was bowman on Courageous in 77. Stu Argo, who was a trimmer, sailed on America 3 in 92, you know, among the folks who were on the boat. Art Santry, who was, he was on Independence, I guess, in one of the earlier, you know, America's Cup campaigns.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to leave it there. We got to run to a break. We've been speaking with Ralph Isham, part of the Courageous Syndicate. Hey, Ralph, congratulations on everything, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Thanks so much for calling.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
And Karen, good to see you again, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, next week, 9:37.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on
Tuesday.
Back.
Tuesday.